This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. This summer, we've been going block by block around Charlotte, so to speak, visiting the towns that ring the city and make up the region. The series has taken us to Matthews, Belmont, Waxhaw, and now the town of Davidson. The home of Davidson College, people are attracted to Davidson because of the school and for its small-town feel. They've been able to preserve a downtown core that gives you the feeling of an old tintype, but they have updated it with plenty of modern amenities which are being demanded by the people who are moving to Davidson in droves. And that, of course, presents them with the same challenge the other towns in our block-by-block series have faced, how to preserve what makes you special while accommodating an exploding population. We get Davidson's perspective on that from three people who live and work there. John Woods is mayor of the town of Davidson. Welcome to you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Jason Burdett is the town's planning director. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
And Tim Helfrich is a business owner. He runs Summit Coffee Company on Main Street. There's another location and a roastery as well. Thank you for being here. I noticed you didn't bring me any coffee. How do you expect me to get through this program?
Next time, Mike. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Let's begin, as we have with all of our block-by-blocks series exploring smaller towns around the area, with a little history. Does the town of Davidson predate the college, or is the college its reason for its being established?
Davidson College was founded in 1836 and 1837. The town literally grew up around the college and was not officially chartered as a North Carolina municipality until 1879. So the college technically predates the town.
So why did they put a college in the middle of nowhere with no town to support it?
You could ask the Presbyterian Church that leaders that question. The word is that they found a place equidistant between Statesville, Charlotte, and the Salisbury area that was sort of, if you think about that, as a center place of those three communities back in the early 1800s, they were all leading communities at that point, mm-hmm. and still are today, of course.
Aside from being a college town, I know that at one point in time, Davidson was a cotton mill town, but found that it could not compete with Cornelius or Mooresville as a manufacturing center. And I think that's on your website. I think that's where I got that. Why would that be?
Well, the history is that cotton, the original cotton weighing product was, or effort was in Davidson, but competition led to a competitor cotton gin weighing function along the railroad tracks in Cornelius, and that created helped create the town of Cornelius at that point and give it an employment center. We have always viewed as a southern community, all towns had a mill that was sort of the center of town, the major employer, the major landowner. Our mill is Davidson College.
Mm. So, and obviously the town today capitalizes on that. Has it always been that way, or has there been in the past, because it was a mill town and a college town, has there been friction between town and gown in the past?
In my growing up years in the 1950s and 60s, the community was completely centered around the college. Hmm. And the college today is still a major employer, a major landowner, and major focus of the town. But it's not the only focus as it was back in those days.
And I read yesterday, and I don't know where I read this, but that it's surprising to a lot of people who live and work in Davidson that the students are not seen as often as you would imagine in downtown Davidson.
I think that's fair to say relative to other college towns that I've been to, but you see them around town. I think there's a certain amount of youth to the population in Davidson, and that's owed to the students.
Well, it seems to me that as a coffee shop owner, they must be your life's blood. You are their life's blood because you're caffeine. But yeah. Without them, I would think you would be hurting a little bit, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, the town is bigger than I think a lot of people think that it is. I mean, we're closing in on, I think, 12,000 people, whereas the college student population is really only 2,000 people. So we rely on them for some of the energy of the town, I think, and we like to see them coming through our doors, but they make up actually a fairly small percentage of our overall business.
Now, I also read, when we're talking about the history of the town, Davidson College brought water and electricity to the town. And I'm wondering if that's really accurate. Would it be more accurate to say that the critical mass of Davidson College allowed these companies, Duke Energy, et cetera, to bring electric power and water to town?
Actually, that is historically correct.
Which way?
The presence of the college created, if you will, a critical mass that allowed for the creation of electrical supply and utilities.
And when did that happen?
Well, it happened obviously in the early 20th century, and it wasn't until the 1970s that the town actually negotiated the sale of those utility products, the electricity to Duke Power, then Duke Power, and the utilities to what became Charlotte-Mecklenburg Utilities, now Charlotte Water. And it was done with the realization that small communities could not operate these highly capital-intensive efforts on their own. And so it was probably the first, if you will, the first move toward regionalization mm-hmm. and centralization of those kind of services as we enjoy today.
Now, for those of us who live in Charlotte and who visit Davidson from time to time, it seems as though you can never get there. I mean, part of it's I-77, it seems to me. But like Belmont and Matthew and Waxhaw, you had a railroad that went through town, but evidently service was inconvenient. So that led to kind of an isolated area until the automobile came into being in around the early 1900s, 1911 or so. And you got bus service, I think, in 1917. But it kept Davidson kind of off the beaten path. Was that a plus or a minus for Davidson back then?
Well, I think it was a product of the rural community that existed in the 20th century, certainly. When my father came to Davidson College as a freshman in 1914, I asked him later in life, how did you get there? And he said, well, by train, of course. But passenger service ended sometime probably about the time I was born in the 1940s and 1950s. So our entire connection to the greater Charlotte area was through the roads and through a bus service mm-hmm. that actually has only recently been revived through our transit efforts.
So you really are a native. I read your bio, John Woods, that you were a Davidson native who moved away for a while and then came back because of a job change. Most of your adult life was spent elsewhere in Columbia, South Carolina. But your father moved there in 1914 and stayed? Is that what happened?
No, my dad was a graduate of Davidson, class of 1918. He was 20 years old at the time, and he went to medical school in Richmond and returned to China as a medical missionary and practiced there until 1940, when he came home with his wife, my mother, and three children, and settled in Davidson in 1942 as the town physician and college physician.
So you grew up there, moved away, and came back. What about the other two of you? What about you, Jason?
I am a recent transplant to the Lake Norman area, but I say 8 years.
So, from?
Home is Florida initially, okay. By way of Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So I like to carry those experiences with me. But in Davidson, you found something that's really, really special, and I can't see us leaving.
Tim?
I came to school at Davidson College in the fall of 96 and ultimately haven't left since then.
Why? The two of you are transplants. I'm mm-hmm. curious as to what attracted you and what made you decide you wanted to stay.
I think once you find a place that really speaks to community and you can walk along the street and see people you know, there's a friendliness. There's common values and shared experiences that people really value in Davidson. And it's evident by the commitment to good design, good planning. And just the public involvement we have through all our processes.
Well, you're a town planner. So
I am.
You would be attracted to the good planning aspect, which
so.
We're going to talk a lot about as we go through this hour. Tim, what about you?
It was a little bit more accidental for me. I enjoyed my time at Davidson College, but as I was going through my undergraduate years, I wasn't planning on sticking around. It sort of happened a bit by accident. Happened to do with meeting a girl at one point and who's now my wife. And but the longer you stay, the more you stay.
Yeah.
It's a town that I think makes it easy to build relationships, and those relationships lead to opportunities and a quality of life that I think is hard to come by elsewhere.
When you go out of town and people say, where are you from? What do you say? Are you a Davidsonian, if that's how you say it, or are you from Charlotte?
I think it depends upon where you are. Uh-huh. If you're local, yeah, sure. I'm from Davidson. But if you're in California, I'm from the Charlotte area. So
Charlotte area.
I think it's context.
I'm Davidson all the way. If I need Charlotte as a locator, I'll say 20 miles north of Charlotte.
Okay.
I clearly say that I'm from Davidson, North Carolina. And people nationally and internationally have become to know that name and that community through various means, either through the college or through Steph Curry or through whatever means we can connect to that community. People recognize the name and seem to understand where we're from. Occasionally, you have to say, well, that's near Charlotte, which is a major center and a nationally and internationally known city.
Well, some people don't even know that. We're not far behind you. So when you look at downtown Davidson today, because that's one of the things that people are struck by when they drive into Davidson, it's quaint, it's from another era, and yet it has modern amenities. When you look at downtown Davidson today, what era does that represent? When was that design built, constructed? What is it? What are we looking at? 1900, 1800? What are we looking at?
Well, the old photographs of Davidson that go back even to the to 1900 exhibit a row of stores that many of which are still there today. Mm. So I think today what you see is a true mix of a past generation of Davidson, when Davidson's downtown was a thriving marketplace that had a mom and pop hardware store, one tiny restaurant, the Soda Shop, which was then called the M&M Soda Shop, and a variety of other merchants that spoke for a sustainable downtown community in and of itself. A couple of grocery stores. The grocery stores were the mom and pop variety. Everything was mom and pop in those days. The grocery stores delivered groceries to people's homes. And so it was a real thriving little self-contained marketplace.
Is it that way today at all?
It is recovering to that today. That a lot of that went away in the 1960s and 70s and 80s. Yeah. But today, Davidson is much more, although dependent and a part of the greater region, it is much more a self-contained downtown than it has been in recent decades.
And you were there before the arrival of I-77, and I'm curious what the impact of that has been on Davidson, because that whole corridor up there from Cornelius and Huntersville has exploded and continues to explode. Was the arrival of I-77 a convenience for you, or is it an annoyance for you?
I don't think that anyone understood in the 1960s what the creation of I-77, nor the about 10 years prior to that, the creation of Lake Norman would mean to the communities in North Mecklenburg and to the greater Charlotte region.
Yeah, because you were there before Lake Norman as well.
I watched the dam being built as a child and literally would go out on Sunday afternoons with friends, and we would put a stick in the ground and come back a week or two later to see if the stick was underwater yet.
That's John Woods, who's mayor of the town of Davidson. When we come back, we're going to talk about what makes Davidson Davidson with the other two guests as well. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and the U.S. National Whitewater Center's Labor Day Celebration Sunday, featuring a 5 and 15K trail race, cornhole tournament, and live music from Keller Williams, usnwc.org. Growing up in a small North Carolina town, Risa Goldberg dreamed of her Prince Charming, but in truth, she was attracted to bad boys, and she married one. And after years of a bad marriage and trying to fix him, she went out to understand, or she set out to understand, how her earliest relationships affected every subsequent one. She also discovered how to grow past those bad patterns with the help of her therapist, and both people will join us to talk about all this tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, the Austria-Hungary border has become the latest pressure point in Europe's ongoing migrant crisis. An update on the huge influx of migrants from the Middle East and Africa, and the future of open borders within the EU.
Join the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're here with John Woods, the mayor of the town of Davidson. Jason Burdett is the planning director there, and Tim Helfridge is the owner of Summit Coffee. It's part of our Block by Block series. We've kind of taken a trip this summer around the ring cities that make up the region, and it's time for Davidson today. They advertise themselves, or you advertise yourself, as a small college town with engaged and active citizens who care deeply about their community. How does that manifest itself, Jason?
Sure. I think what sets Davidson apart from other communities is that we have this commitment to our small town character. We know our history. We've done a lot to address the growth that's coming our way and determine how do we want to grow? How do we want to see ourselves 20 years from now? Mm-hmm. And take inventory as to what's important to us. We know we have a great historic downtown. It's active. It's lively. There's a thriving business community. How can we impart those characteristics of small town character upon new areas of town? And I look at the Circles at 30 near I-77 specifically.
Tell us what that is.
Sure. It's a neighborhood we call the Circles at 30 due to the two traffic circles.
Right.
Which you come upon immediately off the interstate.
I've noticed.
And it was master planned. The ideas for this area came 15 years ago. We said, this growth is coming to this area.
Right.
How do we want this area to look like? And how can we impart some of the characteristics of small town Davidson on this new area? Well, we want to make it walkable. We want to make it mixed use. We want a healthy mix of people and places to visit. And I think we've done a pretty good job at it. I can't think of any other interstate interchange where you get off the exit and it's immediately walkable and pedestrian friendly. And that speaks to the values of Davidson.
Business people sometimes have different thoughts about how things should be run and how what things should look like, because they're in it to make a profit, and whatever makes a profit is what they want to have done. You're a business guy, Tim, but you're also somebody who came here and decided to make Davidson home. Is there a conflict either with you in your mind about the best interests of the town versus the best interests of Summit Coffee, or among other business owners that you talk to? Or is that just something that's part of the DNA of business owners in Davidson? The town is part of what they do.
That's a good question. I think increasingly Davidson really is a destination for businesses, and businesses that want to do business in a town like Davidson, you're making an intentional choice to be a part of that community. And I think, you know, the other reality is that Davidson is rapidly growing. It's grown since I've been in business from 7,000 people to 12,000 people. So it has provided a great number of opportunities for businesses. But when you talk about Davidson's mission of or branding itself as that active engagement and people that care about community, I think that plays itself out. And obviously, as a coffee shop, that's what we're trying to do also. And I think, but we see it every day. I think Davidson people really want to support Davidson businesses and really want to be a part of what's going on there.
One of the things that we like to say about Charlotte is that it doesn't matter where you came from. All we want to know is what you're going to do for us, what you're going to contribute, and we welcome you with open arms, which makes us unlike some southern cities where it matters who your granddaddy was or who your grandmama was. You are a native, John, but you left and came back after 41 years away and served five terms on the town council, I think, and then you're in your fifth term or about to enter your fifth term as mayor. Is it difficult in politics, because there are a lot of newcomers to your area, to get involved in politics, in the town council, in these meetings that you hold that determine the fate of the town, if you're a newcomer?
Well, first of all, I was only away for 15 years. So,
oh, really?
And that was a period of after college in the Army, and a job change brought me back to the Charlotte area. Mm-hmm. The Davidson that I grew up in was always and has always been a very welcoming community. And we practice that today by welcoming newcomers, helping them get involved, encouraging them to get involved, because the involvement of citizens and the diversity of citizens that are moving to Davidson today, many of us are not, and most of us are not now formally affiliated with Davidson College per se. Mm-hmm. We may have relations with Davidson College, you know, but in my growing up years, everyone who lived in Davidson was generally affiliated with the college employment wise. Nowadays, the college is its size, but the town has grown significantly. So we encourage people to get involved and welcome people. And so that's a community attitude, if you will, that says, no, we want you to become involved here.
When we talked to some of the people in the other areas that we've been talking about, little Belmont and Waxhaw and Matthews, one of the things I think all of them pointed out was at one point in time, their downtowns were kind of neglected, and they've been working vigorously to bring them back and have been successful at that. And one of the things that they say about that is that it gives everybody who lives in that area a sense of place. Is that the same story in Davidson, or was the Davidson downtown always pretty much there and part of what makes Davidson Davidson?
I think it's definitely always been a part of what makes Davidson Davidson, but I can say that doing business in downtown Davidson today as opposed to the early 2000s, it's a pretty stark contrast. It's a much more vibrant place. It's much more occupied in terms of the number of storefronts that have businesses in them. And
are there restrictions on what you can do, what kind of businesses can go in there, what they can do to the buildings that they occupy, et cetera?
There's all of those things, I think. I mean, the town has placed a real emphasis on first-floor retail. Mm-hmm. And then from a design standpoint, there's a pretty stout design review board that's going to make sure that downtown stays looking like downtown.
How high can you go? Can there be a 40-story skyscraper in Davidson?
No.
Can there be a 10-story building in Davidson?
In the historic downtown Main Street area, three stories.
Three stories.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. We're going to talk about a project that's on the drawing boards that I think is four stories a little bit later. And that's probably a bad thing. But we'll talk about that. Development in Davidson requires, as I understand it, public input, and you follow new urbanist principles and the importance of good design. And those are your words from your website. Now, we've spoken to a lot of urban planners and new urbanists on this show, and they tout the sustainability of that kind of architecture and that kind of design. They tout the desirability of that for residents and for business owners. But they also say that in some places that's a really hard sell, because Americans were raised on the idea of getting in the car and going to the mall. And that's hard. That's a hard thing to break. How did you guys in Davidson come to adopt those principles? And you did it really early on, Jason.
Sure. In the early 90s, mid-90s, mm-hmm. I think we had Davidsonians were starting to sense that growth pressures were really starting to accelerate coming out of Charlotte. And that's when they decided, hey, hold on. Let's figure out how are we going to address that. And we had some really strong leadership on the town council, planning boards, and administration at that time said, hey, let's adopt a new general plan. It was the precursor to our land plan and our planning ordinance. And it looked at preserving a small town character, but recognizing that growth is coming. So how do we want to address the growth and incorporate that small town character?
How did you know it was coming? Did Huntersville, did Cornelius know it was coming?
It was very clear in about the 1990 time frame that the Charlotte area was exploding in growth. And if you look at the decade of the 90s, which is not ancient history, and in all my growing up years, Davidson was the largest town in North Mecklenburg.
People forget that it was bigger than Huntersville and bigger than Cornelius.
Well, as late as 1990, Davidson had a population of 4,000 people, Cornelius had a population of 2,500, and Huntersville had a population of 3,000 people. And if you fast forward to today, Davidson has moved from 4,000 to 12,000. Cornelius has grown from 2,500 to 25,000, mm-hmm. and Huntersville has grown from 3,000 to over 50,000. So that growth was like a tsunami crushing up north up from Charlotte up I-77.
Well, you went from being the biggest of those three towns to the smallest of those three towns. Is that by design, or is it because you're the farthest north? I mean, is that something that you like, the fact that you're not 50,000 people like Huntersville?
It has always been our desire to be a small community, mm-hmm. relatively speaking. I would say that our approach to development and our rules probably early on in this process encouraged developers to go elsewhere. And now today, developers are finding that our design creates really high-quality results.
The rules that you talk about really do mandate what you can do and what has to be done to get your project done mm-hmm. in Davidson. When were those rules put in place? By whom? And why were those people so set on doing it that way?
Way back in the 1980s, town leaders adopted a rule that said we don't want drive-thrus in Davidson.
And if McDonald's comes to Davidson, there's no drive-thru.
I had a first grader once ask me when I was reading them a book, why won't you allow McDonald's to come to Davidson? Mm-hmm. And I had to stop and explain the fact that McDonald's is welcome in Davidson. We'd be proud to have one there or any other fast food type restaurant. They just have to build their buildings and operate in a fashion that is complementary to the rest of the town.
And they don't come because of that?
Well, apparently they like drive-thrus a lot, and they like their franchise architecture.
There's no drive-thru at the Burger King in New York City.
Exactly.
They get along just fine.
Exactly right.
Who decided to focus on a pedestrian orientation? You really have built that city for people to walk around and get from place to place.
Oh, absolutely. I think this goes back to citizens who were involved early on in the processes. This goes back two decades. And so this is something that's really important to us. So how do we maintain this pedestrian, bicycle-friendly community, and what rules are needed to be developed to maintain that.
But was it town planners, town leaders that made those decisions, or was it the people who lived in the town?
All of the above. Absolutely, all of the above.
How'd you get all those people to be on the same page?
Oh, all the people are never on the same page. But I think we heard strong and clear two decades ago, obviously that predates my time there, that people value that.
Was there resistance to that at all? I mean, did some people want more growth or different kinds of growth than what you've been able to do with what your ordinances allow you to do?
I would say over the last couple of decades that the pressure has been really to not encourage rampant development,
right.
To encourage the development, the careful development of a small community in a well-planned manner. Mm-hmm. So we have struggled and continue to work hard every day to make certain that when developers come to Davidson, that we let them know they're welcome to develop in Davidson. They just have to develop our way, not in their cookie-cutter sort of fashion.
In 2004, Davidson won the Smart Growth Award for Town Planning and Design, and in 2013, you won the North Carolina Chapter of the American Planning Association's Great Main Street mm-hmm. Award. A feather in your cap? A surprise to you? Or just, well, of course we would win it.
No, it's something we work hard to, so It's a blessing, but it doesn't come without hard work and hard decisions. So I think that's it's a thank you to our community, and it's an award for all the hard work.
Maybe every town has a set of core values. I'm not aware of that, but you have a set of core values, which I read yesterday. I'm going to just mention a few of them, not all of them, because we'd be here the rest of the hour reading them. But among those core values are citizens are the heart of Davidson. Open communication is essential between government and citizen. Davidson must be safe. Davidson's historic mix of people in all income levels is fundamental. Davidson is a small town, so land planning will reflect historic patterns of village-centered growth. Sidewalks, bike paths, connected streets, greenways, and transit are important. Those are just a few of the core values. Is it hard? Is it difficult? Is it a challenge to adhere to those? Is it a challenge for business to come into Davidson and look at those core values and say, can I fit in here?
I think it's an important question for businesses to ask themselves before they come into Davidson. And I think the businesses that are coming in large part because of those values. And I think people are moving to Davidson because of those values also. And so when you think about connectivity and walkability, those are things that are a great asset for a business owner, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And citizens at the heart of the town is also something that's pretty easy for a business to get around, because citizens are at the heart of what we're trying to do as well.
One of the things that really stuck out for me when I read some of these is that Davidson's historic mix of people in all income levels is fundamental. Mm-hmm. And you kind of think of Davidson, for those of us who don't live there and just visit occasionally, as this quaint little town that's got this wonderful college. It's an Ivy League school, one of the South's Ivy League schools, great intellectual capital that floats all over the town. Mm-hmm. And it also seems to be a place of upper income people. But what you want is a mix of all those things. Mm-hmm. Why is that so important, and how do you do that?
The Davidson that I grew up in was a very diverse community,
mm-hmm.
and it became evident in the 1980s and 90s in just a look at supply and demand and the attractiveness of not only our community but the greater Charlotte region, that supply and demand would create higher prices for properties, and we made a conscious decision to require affordable housing to be embedded in every neighborhood. And by affordable housing, we mean housing for our teachers, for our police officers, for those who work at Davidson College or anywhere, so that we have diverse communities, and a diverse community is a stronger community. Mm.
That makes it difficult, it would seem to me, for developers, mass big builders and things like that, to come in, because they have to build a mix of housing that perhaps doesn't meet their business plan.
We've had some difficult conversations with folks, but I think our citizens have come to embrace this affordable housing concept, in that 12.5% of all units in a new development need to be affordable for mm-hmm. various area median income levels.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important, and I think it's also important to say that these aren't these are citizens. These are teachers. These are police officers. These are your neighbors. It's not some poor, rundown shack. These affordable housing units that have come out are townhomes.
Mm-hmm.
They're nice single family detached homes, and they've really been integrated nicely into the fabric of our community.
We're going to talk more about business in Davidson. I'm never going to get to all the questions I have about your town, so I'll have to reconcile myself with that. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about growth, and we're going to share with you some comments that we're getting on social media, because we posed a question a little while ago on social media. We asked Davidson residents about Davidson and what they like about their town, and so, believe it or not, some of them are listening and sending in their comments, so we will get to them in a second. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Henderson Properties, providing HOA and condominium association management throughout the entire Charlotte region for over 25 years. HendersonProperties.com. The Austria-Hungary border has become the latest pressure point in Europe's ongoing migrant crisis. On the Diane Rehm Show today in 20 minutes, an update on the huge influx of migrants and refugees from the Middle East and Africa, and the future of open borders within the European Union. That's at 10 o'clock this morning on the Diane Rehm Show. Want to join our conversation about Davidson and the border between us and them? You can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org or search for WFAE on Facebook or Twitter. That will get you to us, and we are coming right back.
Once upon a time, war bonds helped the country pay to fight World War II.
It would be nice today to have celebrities and movie stars getting behind the government, if not for a war effort, to maybe finding some way to save America.
Coming up, why Miley Cyrus isn't going to be hawking war bonds anytime soon. Next time on Marketplace from APM.
Marketplace this evening at 6:30 on 90.7 WFAE. Listener-funded public radio.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about Davidson as part of our Block by Block series. We've been to Matthews, Belmont, Waxhaw. Today is Davidson's Day. This is Davidson Talks on WFAE today. With John Woods, the mayor there, Jason Burdett is the planning director, and Tim Helfridge owns Summit Coffee with two locations in Davidson, plus a roastery. We've asked some Davidson folks to write us on social media and have their questions answered or have their comments made known. So Allison on Twitter says, I love walking into my Friday breakfast place and seeing the mayor and having him coming over to say hi.
You know,
Do you know Allison?
I do indeed. and we are a small community, and we are neighbors who know each other, who care for each other, who know about the about children's successes, and we can talk with each other about the issues that we face in our community.
The Davidson Community Players on Twitter write, we love the support of the arts. From theater to visual art, our town supports the arts, which elevates our community, people, and society. Does the town support? And I'm going to tell you, the Davidson Community Players production of Ragtime a couple of years ago was the best show I have ever seen in this city. And that includes the Broadway series that tours out of New York. It was the best production I've ever seen. It was amazing. So what is the support for the arts in Davidson, the result of the college being there, or is it something among the people there?
I think it's both. I mean, I think that, again, if you go back historically and look at Davidson, I think a lot of the Davidson springs from the college, and I think that that sort of culture and intellectual energy today does owe its genesis to the college. But I think people that move to Davidson again and that want to spend time around Davidson want to be around culture, and some of that is programming that's put on by the college, and the mm-hmm. access to that is great. And a lot of it is coming out of the community as well. And I second your opinion of the Community Players, and it's a wonderful organization, but a lot of hard work goes into it.
Yeah. Patty on Twitter says, one of the main challenges Davidson faces, too much hideous McMansion development. Vulgar homes don't make for quaint towns. Greedy developers and the folks who buy their charmless product will be the death of this town. Now, you just sat here telling me 5 minutes ago that you've made it difficult for that to happen, but it's happening?
Yes, it does happen. And taste is relative. So beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
That's right.
But you mentioned our core values earlier.
Right.
It's a balance between community interest and property rights too. So if we have to recognize that. So
Davidson has, I'm told, become a kind of destination of sorts. Are these tourists coming from the immediate area, people from Charlotte going up to have a nice dinner because there's lots of great restaurants mm-hmm. in Davidson? Or is it people from other parts of the state, or people passing down I-77, pulling off the interstate for a break, and they discover Davidson? Where are these people coming from? Who are they?
That's a great question, I don't think any of us have the exact answer for that. My sense is that it has less to do probably with I-77 traffic. Yeah. I think people are coming to Davidson intentionally. Just in the last couple of years, we've given them reasons to come up in the evening. A lot of great restaurants have come up, and the nightlife in Davidson is a 180 from what it was 10 years ago.
That's one of the things you commented on in your notes to the producer here, that one of the most exciting things that you've seen, Tim, since you've been there is the vibrancy and the excitement in downtown that has literally blossomed.
It has. We first applied for and got a wine and beer license in 2003 and decided to try to stay open past 7 p.m., which was, at the time, somewhat unusual or very unusual in Davidson. It was us and Ben and Jerry's, I think, at the time. And I remember walking out of the front door of Summit one of the first nights we were open and looking up and down Main Street and seeing no cars parked or driving, no pedestrians. And if you drive through Davidson, especially on a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday night now, it can be tough to find a parking spot. And you're driving past literally a dozen establishments that are open and full.
That seems to be something that's happening a lot across America, where these downtown areas, including Charlotte, you could have fired a howitzer down Tryon Street after 5 o'clock in 1985 in Charlotte and not hit anything at all, certainly no human beings. They wouldn't be there. And there's this story of a reporter for the Charlotte Observer going out after 5 o'clock trying to find a candy bar, and he couldn't find a store that was open to sell him a candy bar back then. That's changing. Is that because we figured out how to revitalize areas like downtowns in a shopping mall world? Or is it younger people, millennials, who have just rejected all of that and want this, what you're providing?
I think it's all of the above. I think there is a sea change among this emerging generation that the cars aren't as important as previous generations thought they were. And that we've got a response from a business community who's like, yeah, we'll take a chance on staying open a little later. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, we'll take a chance on opening a new restaurant in town or adapting an older building for a new use.
And is it also because restaurants tend to open in places that are inexpensive at first, at least, because they have to keep the rent down. Mm-hmm. And when the critical mass of restaurants crops up and we have this new dining out culture, mm-hmm. Maybe they start attracting people to a downtown that then feels like we can stay open later at night. You have an extraordinary number of good restaurants for a town your size. How do you explain that?
Well, we're very proud of that. Davidson's obviously become very desirable, specifically in the downtown. And I think all of these restaurants and shops are building upon each other, upon the synergy that's created. We've had, I think, 6 restaurants open on Main Street alone in the last 2 years. A couple of those are award-winning restaurants now. And another restaurant, we worked to develop an outdoor patio area for that was in an unused plaza area. And that's just enlivened Main Street.
One of the things that we talked about and that I heard from all of the other cities that we're talking to in this series, Matthews, Waxhaw, Belmont, was the cooperation among business owners on behalf of the town and on behalf of each other, sending business down the street. It's kind of a Nordstrom model. Are you experiencing the same thing in Davidson?
I think so, absolutely. I think that businesses in Davidson recognize that what's good for one of us is generally good for the rest of us. And certainly we feel that way. Add to that I think in Davidson there's probably an unusual cooperation and support from Town Hall also to get behind and to champion the restaurants, particularly in restaurants and shops that are trying to do things in the evenings. I think that Davidson, through some consulting work back in the early 2000s, identified nighttime viability as being very important to the community and the success of the community. And so we've found very much that they are eager to get behind anything that's going to bring people there at night.
And one of the things you brag about is the fact that you have unique businesses that you will not find elsewhere in your downtown. Does that mean then that you don't have Banana Republics and Limiteds and places like that, but you do have a ma and pa version of that? And why is that attractive to people?
That's correct. Not to say that Banana Republic wouldn't be welcome in downtown,
right.
but I think Davidsonians take pride in the independent retailer and supporting mm-hmm. local businesses. And you've seen the success of our Main Street. It's supported by residents.
Well, one of you mentioned parking, because if you have more people coming from the outside to have dinner or to go to Summit Coffee or whatever it may be, and they can't walk because they're coming from elsewhere, parking has become a challenge, hasn't it?
It's one of those good problems that we're trying to deal with right now.
What are you going to do about it?
Well, we recognize that as an issue in downtown. We also recognize that we are 99% plus or minus occupied, and we have a waiting list of retailers who wish to be in Davidson. We have a town hall that we have totally outgrown. We cannot provide adequate space for police and fire functions within the existing town hall, and we need to look at ways to increase that capacity.
So your core values, which have led to this unique downtown experience, and which has led to all the things that we talked about, encouraging people to do things in a certain way with walkable areas and maintaining the what makes Davidson charming, is attracting more and more people. And therein lies the challenge. How do you maintain that? How do you not kill the goose that laid the golden egg?
I think it's encouraging people to think differently, too. The automobile is not the only means of transportation. And if we can...
Yeah.
Have residences and homes that are within walking distance or access to a greenway trail, and you can access downtown in a 10-minute walk. That's going a long way.
And all of this falls on you, Jason, because you're the town planner. It's all you.
yes.
and John just mentioned, the mayor just mentioned, the parking is a problem, mentioned the town hall is too small, that they can't provide enough space for police and fire and things like that. And there's a proposal on the table right now to raise the town hall and replace it with a 250,000 to 280,000 square foot complex anchored by a hotel and conference center, which would include a 125-room boutique hotel attached to 13,000 square feet of meeting space, along with 100,000 square feet of residential space, 28,000 square feet of retail, 12,000 square feet of office space, another 25,000 square feet for the town, along with 450 to 600 parking spaces. This sounds like an enormous building. Where would it be, and is there controversy at all surrounding?
Well, first of all, we're in the middle of a feasibility study to determine how we can better meet the needs of downtown Davidson and to allow downtown Davidson to expand to provide better services to the growing population that we are experiencing. So no decisions have been made on this issue, and the long list square footages that you just mentioned are perhaps the maximum of each of the possibilities that might occur. So we're taking a very proactive look at the 3.5 acres of the center of downtown that are owned by the town of Davidson that happen to occupy town hall and some ground level parking, and trying to determine how we can best and better utilize that property to allow Davidson to optimize its downtown function for citizens, to better connect the existing downtown with a burgeoning South Main Street property and development area that is slightly disconnected from the downtown right now. So we're looking in a feasibility study to determine how we could best proactively accommodate a resolution to some of these challenges.
So how far away are you from making a decision? And I know that your core values say that citizen involvement is a must in all of this. How many people turn out for the meetings for things like this, and how do you balance their desires versus what you know as a city planner, for instance, is a good thing?
Sure. CIS involvement is of utmost importance, and we've been at this feasibility study process for almost a year now, I believe. We've had a couple public input sessions, great turnout, great feedback, and the potential programmatic changes that have come out of that have been very worthwhile. Again, this is still just a feasibility study. We're trying to figure out if this is something that would work. Something we kept hearing is how is this going to affect our downtown? Downtown's very important. It's the crown jewel of Davidson. And I think we take those concerns very seriously. So if this project did move forward, it's not going to be one behemoth of a building. It would be multiple smaller buildings. It'd all be done very context sensitive.
But it's being called the Catalyst Project, which indicates to me, or at least to the casual observer, that you see this as the catalyst for what? Even more development? Or is that an incorrect assessment?
I don't know if it's... I think it's a catalyst for vitality, to be very generic, I guess. We hear from our citizens that they want more retail and shopping opportunities. We hear from potential businesses that there's not enough space to locate, and we'd love to be downtown. So we're trying to address some of those concerns, including parking as well.
We only have a couple seconds left, but there's a project on the drawing boards that has been described both as controversial but also a case study for how Davidson might approach future development in rural areas surrounding the town called Narrow Passage. And Pat emails, pretty incredible that a town of 12,000 has worked to eliminate the digital divide for 99% of its school-aged children. Now, wait a minute. What has that got to do with Narrow Passage? I'm not sure. But anyway, what about Narrow Passage? Because you said it wasn't that big a deal, Mayor.
Well, Narrow Passage is a small development in our rural area, about 50 residences total, over 60 or 70 acres of land. It's a sign of the pressures that all of us, all of the towns around Charlotte are facing in terms of development and the need to plan ahead for these decisions. We are engaging what we call a rural area plan for this extraterritorial jurisdiction east of Davidson that is not presently in the corporate limits of Davidson, but for which we have the zoning responsibility and authority for. And it's our hope that we can update our current ordinance in a way that ordinance is roughly 15 years old, and we can update that so that we can evolve, still honoring the rural presence and the rural area that we have there, and allow reasonable development to occur in pockets where we think the development can best suit and complement the community.
Getting back to Pat's email, she wanted to compliment people on the fact that you've eliminated the digital divide for 99% of school-aged children. There's evidently access to the internet there. Diane emails, love going to Toast and taking my family across the street to walk around the college. Summit Coffee is great too. Davidson Farmers Market is fantastic, says Joe. Other people have questions about other things that we're not going to have time to get to because we're out of time. But thank you, John Woods, the mayor of Davidson, Jason Burdett, planning director there, and Tim Helfrich, owner of Summit Coffee Company.
Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Our executive producer is Wendy Herkey. Our producers are Aaron Kiever and Tim Ross. Our engineer is Joey Sprinkle. For more information about archives, upcoming shows, and podcasts, or to continue the conversation online, visit our website at